Right, we're going to be in Daniel 4 this morning, so if you've got a Bible, you might want to... Anyone else tired when you see an advert or something like that, and it talks about 2020 being a year like no other, and you're like, yeah, we all know this, we don't need to be told. Anyone else is like, oh, not again. But it has to be said, it is a year that has been totally out of our control. Whatever plans you had, when we turned the new decade and you were like, yes, I'm ready for the new decade, I'm excited. Whatever plans you had have just been blown out of water, really. And it is so hard to plan anything. Every day feels like Groundhog Day. You miss things you got planned because you think that you've not got anything planned because every day is the same anyway. It's out of our control. And the thing is, it's not only out of your control and out of my control, it's out of the control of the government. Control the virus? Yeah, right. Respond to the virus. Try and do it quickly. We live in a time where everything is out of control. And there's something within us that yearns for a bit of control, isn't there? Do you find yourself just thinking, oh, if I could just know what's going to happen by Christmas, if I could just know, it'd be so helpful. We long for a bit of that control. We long for stability. And I think now is a time that we need to learn something that Nebuchadnezzar learned. We may already know it, but to remind ourselves who is in control and what will remain, what's really important. And when everything else seems out of control, those things that are stable seem so much more appealing and so much more central to what we're doing. We're going to do Daniel 4 and look at the illusion of control. So we're going to read all of the chapter. It says this. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of my dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw in their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was fruit, food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from under its branches. But leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound it with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the field. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. and let seven periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by decree of the watcher, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. And you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me its interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of the tree in the earth, bound with bands of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power, as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, praised and honoured him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Lord, we want to stop Lord, we've heard your word. Lord, we want to ask, would you speak to us? Say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you reveal to us the things of God? Would you challenge us where we need to be challenged? Lord, would you bring encouragement? Would you bring peace? We pray in the name of Jesus for your glory and for your kingdom. Lord, yours is the everlasting kingdom. It's the one that will not change. It will not fail. It does not grow old. Lord, yours is the kingdom and the glory. And we pray, Lord, would all things this morning be done for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nebuchadnezzar had control. He controlled a vast empire. He'd conquered it. City by city, conquered the king, set himself outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he'd just really come in. There was no big battle about it, and he'd just taken the best of their people and off he went. And this was the first time he'd come to Jerusalem. He'd come again, take more, he'd come again. Three times he'd defeat Jerusalem. He knew control of a vast area, geographical. He lived in a city which was just at the forefront of arts, culture. This you can see in the British Museum. This is a cuneiform cylinder. There's many of them from his time written about what he did, about what his kingdom was about. When Daniel and his friends were enrolled in their three-year degree, they were learning something with substance. It was an amazing culture. They were learning something. It would have been hard work to understand. This city, Babylon, is the Ishtar Gate, a remodel of it, which you can see in Germany, I think it is. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Amazing city that he had built. In Daniel chapter 2, we read about this dream, his first dream, where he's told of these kingdoms, four different kingdoms, and he's told, you're the head of gold. We're told in this chapter, he's the great tree whose influence goes to the ends of the earth. His control was such that when he places a statue, was it of himself? Probably. Places this statue and he can command and people bow and do what he tells them to. He knew control. He was probably the most powerful man of his time. But he has a dream and he's told, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. This great tree that falls. One, for his pride. His dream was a warning. Daniel tells to him, he gives him these recommendations. He says, you need to do justice. You need to stop sinning. You need to try and change your ways. And we see God's grace at work here. It's a year before this is fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't change. He doesn't change his mindset. And he stands in his palace looking out across. Ha ha ha, look at what I've built. Might sound funny, but that's what he thought. And he's judged. Before the words even leave his mouth, he hears a voice from heaven, the kingdom has departed from you. He's judged. I don't know about you, but I read this and I think, wow, can you imagine that? Suddenly the king, you know, like now with media, what would they put on there? They'd have to create a whole load of spin, like, no, it's not really the king in the field eating the ox. Eating the hay that the ox should eat, should I say? Suddenly he's driven from his kingdom. He's given strange desires that he didn't have before. He's judged. He's told, like he was told in Daniel 2, when he sees his previous vision, he's told that God's in control. He's not in control. He thinks he's in control. He thinks this is all his. He's not in control. He's been told that in Daniel 2 with the vision. He's been told that there's a stone, there's a kingdom that's coming that will bring all of those kingdoms to nothing. Speaks about chaff. Now, I have been slow. Does anyone like the Avengers? Anyone into that sort of thing? I have been very slow. Over lockdown, I have done my revision and I've watched them all. I finished the last one on Saturday night. They're good fun. I mean, they're good fun. But there's the moment when suddenly everyone, or in the last one, when Thanos, suddenly this great powerful being suddenly just turns into ash and is blown away. That's what these kingdoms are like. Just blown away, just turned to nothing. He's been told this in Daniel 2, he's been told it. And then when he thought he could command people to bow, and he thought that he could make everyone bow or throw them into the fire, he finds that there's a God who saves. There's a God who's powerful, who's more powerful than he is. And yet he's still not learned that lesson. And he stands on his balcony and goes, oh, look at what I've done. No, no, this is from God. And he finds that out. And it's interesting because this story doesn't sit well with our sort of, you know, I'm in control. How dare God choose to do something to me? Doesn't sit well with that. But actually, God's in control whether we like it or not. He's in control. And we see from Nebuchadnezzar's response when he's restored, he doesn't say, can't believe that God did that to me. Can't believe he did that. He suddenly recognises that his life is in the hand of this incredibly powerful God. He suddenly realises his humanity. And he recognises who this God is. He says that his dominion is an everlasting dominion. He speaks about this God in terms that he knows he's not like that. And verse 37, I find these words incredible in our times. He doesn't turn around and say, what is God doing? He says, all his works are right. Even in judging him, Nebuchadnezzar can see God's works are right. All his ways are just. And what do we have to learn about this? We know chapter 4 is a letter. You might have thought it starts a bit strange, because it starts King Nebuchadnezzar to all peoples and languages. He speaks, he starts by praising this God. And then he tells of this account. This is his account of what's happened to him. He wants to warn people. He's putting out his warning. He's saying you need to pay attention. You need to listen. He's spent the time to write this and to tell of his own frailties because he wants to warn people. He wants to warn. He's warning us that pride and there is an illusion of control. And he's warning us to pay attention to the God who is above all. You know, self-sufficiency is something that is rife in our land. I've read something, I can't even remember what it is, but there are people now who are on YouTube, who have their channels on Instagram, who basically tell you to think positively. And they make a career out of this. There's nothing wrong with positive thinking. But they're saying, you're in control. You're totally in control of your life. You can make it whatever you want it to be. And sometimes we need a bit of self-belief, don't we? But actually, the one who is in control is God. He's in control. I can't manufacture all the circumstances in my life. I can't change what happened. I couldn't change COVID. You couldn't change it. We're in God's hands. Life without God That is the ultimate form of pride, to say, I don't need God, I've got my own way of doing things. That's the ultimate form of pride. But actually, we always think of pride as something that's lofty, looking down on others, but also there can be a pride. There can be a pride in saying, I don't deserve God's mercy. Actually, that's a form of pride, because that's saying what God says about me isn't true. What I think is more important. Christians, we might know. We know this. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what Nebuchadnezzar discovers. Christians, we celebrate that we're saved by grace. We're totally saved by the work of God. But what we can start to think is that I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm saved by grace, but I've got to sanctify myself. No, it's actually still a work of God. It's still God's work, but it's still as we humble ourselves before Him and we ask Him to help us, that we are changed, that we become more like Him. Nebuchadnezzar discovered that judgment, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says He humbles Himself and He discovers God's grace to him. It says He humbles Himself. And ultimately, the judgment that we will all face, not in this life, but when Jesus returns, will be based on whether we have submitted our lives to God, whether we've recognised that He is a higher authority, that He is above all things, that He is outside of all things, and that He has created us, that He has made a way for us to come before Him. When we recognise that He's in control and we submit our lives to Him. That's what becoming a Christian is about. It's about saying, actually, God, I recognise that You're actually in control. And I don't want to live my life according to my own ways and my own styles. I want to live according to what You've planned for me, because You're the Creator. And I thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross to make a way for me to be able to enjoy that life and know that my sins are forgiven. Nebuchadnezzar finds out that one thing remains. The kingdom of God, it remains. 2020, the kingdom of God still remains. It's still growing. And we can ask this question. How do I know that I can submit to this God? How do I know I can submit everything? How do we know? Because we look at Jesus. We look at Jesus, the humble King. Philippians 2 speaks about having this mind among yourselves. It's written to a church, and Paul is saying to them, you need to have this mind, you need to have the mind of Christ amongst you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You haven't earned it, you're not going to work hard at it, it's yours in Jesus, He's won it for you. Who, though He was in the form of God, existed outside of time, He was there in creation. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. This God came and entered our reality. He entered the world. He took flesh upon Himself. He came down and died on the cross so that we don't have to. That's how we know. That's how we know. Hey, I can submit. I can release control of my life. I can get rid of that illusion that I think I'm under control. I'm in control, but I'm not really. I can give it all to God because I know that He was the one who came down and served me. He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's what He did. God did. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, who walked around and military won his battles by killing, Jesus says, I'm going to win my battle by sacrificing myself in your place. That's how this king rules. He rules by sacrificing his own life so that we could experience peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, so that we could know that there's a great hope, that there's a kingdom that He's inaugurated, that's coming and it's keeping coming, and it will remain and it will not change. We can become part of that, and we can be part of this kingdom. And because Jesus does that, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? That's who we serve. That's who we come and serve. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never submitted to Him, I strongly recommend you do it. He's a loving God. He wants to meet with you today. He wants to come and shower His love on you. He wants to come and show you who He is. But it's in that submission, saying, I give you control. When I was a teacher at school, the kids used to love this video. You know the little short vines that you had? Jesus, take the wheel. Have you seen that one? Yeah, suddenly there's this song, and it's talking about taking the wheel of my life. Actually giving God control of your life. And suddenly this flying Jesus comes in through the window and starts trying. It's amusing if you like those sorts of things, but the kids love it. But actually we need to give God control of our lives. We need to say, God, take control. It might be that you're struggling with what's going on currently. You've got control again. Some of the things that Carol said. You've got control. We're going to invite Peter and the band to come up. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And just take a moment just to consider what Jesus has done and to again offer your life to Him.